the answer to this question is negative. If you go to the, the books of Ahlul Sunnah, you can find lots of points and, actually the basis of this point is one single narration in Sahih Muslim. In the Sahih Muslim, actually, we have one narration talking about the three requests of Abu Sufyan from Noble Prophet Muhammad, one of which was to assign his son Muawiyah to be a writer and a scriber of revelation of Noble Quran. And actually, Noble Prophet Muhammad accepted, according to this false narration, Noble Prophet Muhammad accepted his request and assigned Muawiyah to be a writer and a scriber of revelation of Noble Quran. But if you go to the interpreters of the Sahih Muslim, you can find many of them, and actually all of them rejected this narration. And they said that this narration actually is false. For example, we have the Nawawi in his commentary. He said that, it is not accepted narration. Al-Qadi, Ibn Hazm, and many other, Sunni scholars that rejected the authenticity of this narration. And even Shamsuddin Dhahabi, one of the most famous Sunni scholars with regard to the narration, and traditionalists, he say that this narration is not accepted. Let me quote the exact, statement of Dhahabi. وَفِي صَحِيحِ مُسْلِمْ قَدْ سَاقَ لَهُ أَصْلًا مُنْكَرًا أَنْ إِبْنَ أَبَّاسِ. He said that in Sahih Muslim about this particular narration, he said that there is a unacceptable narration which has been quoted and ascribed to Ibn Abbas. So you find that actually we can say most of the Sunni respected scholars with regards to the narration and tradition, they rejected the authenticity of this narration. So we can say that this narration is baseless. And for example, some of them, they say that هَذَا الْحَدِيثِ وَحْمٌ مِّن بَعْدَ الرُّبَاطِ. They said that this particular narration is very weak. I think it has been, been very clear that the narration which talking about the, and the hadith which talking about the, whether Muawiyah was writer and a scriber of the revelation of Noble Quran, yes, mm-hmm. is false.
So the first question is negative. The answer to it is negative, and we understood that he has never had any hand in writing those holy or sacred texts.
Let me add that, of course, about the writing of the revelation of Noble Quran, actually he has no role to play over there. But about the ordinary letters of the Noble Prophet, actually, Muawiyah, maybe he has done some work over there. For example, according to some of the scholars, they say that Muawiyah wa kana Muawiyah yaktubu lin-nabi fi ma baynahu wa bayna al-Arab. I'm quoting this statement from Al-Madani.
So it was not a sacred text.
Yes, exactly. He said that kana Zayd ibn Thabit yaktubu al-wahy. For example, Zayd ibn Thabit and some other companion of Noble Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him and his pure progeny, they were writing the revelation, but Muawiyah was writing some of the ordinary letters of the Noble Prophet mm-hmm. with, for example, some other people.
Yes, thank you.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
So we go to the other part of the question, that is like this. Is being the writer of holy texts a proof to claim the immunity of the writer from all the sins or any other evil deeds?
Again, the answer is negative, because if you write the revelation of Noble Quran, it doesn't mean that you are sinless, infallible individual.
Mm-hmm.
You see that talking about the Noble Quran itself, Noble Quran is pure from any, and actually it is immune from any distortion, omission, and addition, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, of course, we have many evidences about that, many verses of Noble Quran and many rational proof and argument for the immunity of Noble Quran to be away from any distortion. But that individual is writing and, you know, have some kind of writing about the revelation, this individual, it does not mean that that particular individual is sinless and infallible.
Mm.
And the reason of that, you see that some of the writers of the revelation, for example, like Abdullah ibn Abi Sarh, he was a writer of revelation, but he apostatized. And, you know, very clearly, and many scholars, they have been quoted this historical fact that this individual and companion of Noble Prophet Muhammad, he was writing the revelation of Noble Quran, but he apostatized. So there is no reason that that individual is writing the revelation is immune from any other error and sin.
And also we have it in the holy book of Quran. I don't remember exactly the verse, but there is the concept that says there are those who write the book, but they do not believe in it.
Maybe we have in some verse of Noble Quran, but you know, rationally speaking, the person is writing a revelation. It does not mean that that individual is immune from any
or
other
infallible,
sin.
Yes.
Or infallible. You know, infallibility is God-given privilege that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has gave it to the infallible Ahlul Bayt. You know, 14 infallible Ahlul Bayt, and of course for some other messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with different, you know, stages and levels on infallibility.
Mm-hmm.
But talking about other people, nobody claims that those companions, they were pure from any, you know, error and sins. And, you know, the mere writing of the revelation does not mean that those individuals and people, they were, you know, infallible people.
Yeah.
So I want to say that, you know, rationally speaking, it is not mere writing of revelation. It does not mean that individual is immune from any kind of error and mistake. You see that, for example, about the, some people, they claim that they, for example, the companions of Noble Prophet Muhammad, they were all of them, they are just, they did not commit any mistake. But of course, we have some differences in, you know, let's say in other school. Yes, we have some differences in other schools of thought.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the people, they believe that they, all of them, they were just. Some of them, they believe that, you know, other ideas about this issue. But after all, we have some other evidences supporting the, you know, this idea that mere writing the revelation does not mean that
the person is infallible.
This infallible. I think it is, rationally speaking, it is very clear for those people who reflect about this issue. But after all, we prove this idea and we explain that the Muawiyah was not writer of revelation of Noble Quran at all.
So thank you for nice information. Dear listeners, you are listening to IRB English Radio. I hope today's episode was up to your expectation and helped you figure out your questions. For furthermore of diverse information, you can visit parstoday.com. Until next session and a new episode of Q&A, may Allah shower you with His blessings. Thank you for being with us.
إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With the light.
Iran's city of Rafsanjan has hosted an international talent contest dubbed Stage Stars. The event is aimed at providing a chance for stage talents from across the world to come in the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali reports from Rafsanjan. Let's check it out.
This is a global stage for talents. The fifth International Stage Stars Festival wrapped up with the announcement of winners, who have been competing in four categories of singing, voice acting, show hosting, and sound impression. The top performances from each category won the golden mic and a cash prize.
The festival was a place for more serious competition between those who have a say in a stage performance. I'm so happy to be chosen by the jury as the best show host of the contest.
It was an amazing event for talents. I'm so glad to be part of this. Talents from all across Iran and many parts of the world competed in the festival, so winners should be proud of themselves.
Held in Iran's city of Rafsanjan, the two-day event brought together participants from 14 countries, including Iran, Afghanistan, Kyrgyzstan, Nigeria, and Turkey, to flaunt their neck for stage performance.
The scale of this contest is global. Many of us participants did not have any idea we could be stand-up comedians or show hosts. But when we got on stage here, we ourselves discovered our own talents.
I really love that, seeing that all people around the world are coming here and presenting themselves. It's a very great feeling. Of course, they will be progressed and they will develop yourself when they will got the result.
The jury is comprised of top Iranian actors, TV presenters, and voice artists. They say the competition has been tough, and those who stood out are real stage stars.
We tried our best to pick talents who really acted like professionals on stage. Not only should they care about the standards and principles of a stage performance, but they must innovate, improvise, and stand out.
This festival acted like a university for stage talents. It taught a lot of lessons about stage to participants, especially for those who failed to win the contest.
Organizers say this contest is not just about scouting for stage talents. They say the event helps shine a spotlight on talents and lead them to their community.
The fifth Stage Stars Festival is aimed at bringing stage talents to light. Many of the participants already have a few years of experience, so this stage is not supposed to discover them, but to springboard them to a higher level in their careers.
All of the contestants, even those who come from foreign countries, must perform in Persian. However, organizers plan to include other languages in the upcoming editions of the festival.
To those who won the golden mic here, this is a dream come true. But they say, aside from the prize, Stage Stars has marked a milestone in their pursuit of success, since they have now come under the spotlight. Yusuf Jalali from the city of Rafsanjan.
Age is just a number when it comes to pursuing your goals. That's what 98-year-old Italian man Giuseppe Paterno has proven. Paterno has become the oldest university graduate in his country for the second time. In July 2020, he was graduated in history and philosophy from the University of Palermo. 2 years on, he's now got a master's degree in the same subject. Paterno grew in a poor family in Sicily and always had a desire for learning. But he was unable to go to university at a young age. He finished high school aged 31, 6 years after he got married. Paterno's love to study or for study never stopped, making him enter the university in his 90s.
Geologists are rejoicing over a new discovery. A 290-million-old fossil forest has accidentally been found in southern Brazil. A team of geologists had been sent to the state of Paraná to investigate the rocks there. To their surprise, they were able to find over 160 logs of lycophytes, an extinct variety of the vascular plant subgroup. It's quite rare occurrence that a large number of fossils of the plant were found preserved in upright position for such a long time. The forest itself was discovered in 2018 when a street was being constructed over there. So far, only two other similar collections have been found in smaller forest areas of Brazil and Argentina. Summer heat is here, and zoos are working to not only keep visitors cool, but animals safe during the hot weather. A Belgian zoo takes extra precautions to help animals survive a fierce heat wave that has left Western Europe sweltering. A Pairi d'Aiza Zoo, located in Wallonia in the province of Hainaut, provides animals with frozen food, fruit suspended in water, and extra showers. It has also created extra shaded areas with good ventilation along with water points to ensure animals have access to them. Zookeepers say managing animals in high temperatures requires good forward planning. Zoos across the world have a variety of responses to keep animals cool. So we humans are not the only creatures who feel significant stress during the hot months. Animals, too, are impacted by it.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
The biggest and brightest supermoon of 2022 has risen with a crimson hue above horizons across the globe. It's also known as a buck moon because it falls in July. The name does not come from its appearance. You won't see the shape of a deer on the moon's surface or anything. It refers to something that happens in nature at this time. It's called a buck moon because the antlers of male deer or bucks are in full growth in July. Supermoons occur when a full moon comes closest to Earth in its orbit. This is not the last supermoon of 2022. There will be another in August, marking the final supermoon in this year's set of four. Some rescue stories are tragic, but this one has a happy ending. A stranded elephant and her calf have been pulled out of a drainage hole in a dramatic rescue mission during monsoon rains in Thailand. The mother elephant was guarding her calf that had fallen into a golf course drain hole when rescuers arrived. Vets had to use tranquilizers to subdue the frantic mother, but on her way down, she hit her head on a concrete block, knocking her unconscious as she fell into the muddy cavity. Rescuers used a crane to lift her out. It took two men jumping up and down on her chest to resuscitate her. Meanwhile, a digger was brought in to move the muddy earth and create a ramp for the calf to climb out. It took the team more than 3 hours to finish the operation. During a routine X-ray examination of one of Van Gogh's paintings, art conservators at the National Galleries of Scotland have discovered a secret self-portrait.
When we saw the X-ray for the first time, of course, we were hugely excited, absolutely thrilled to bits. Such a major discovery of an alternative composition happens once, twice in a conservator's lifetime.
The self-portrait was found during an examination of an 1885 painting by Van Gogh as the museum was prepping for an upcoming exhibition on Impressionism. Hidden from view for over a century, the self-portrait is on the reverse side of the Dutch artist's painting called The Head of a Peasant Woman. It was found beneath cardboard and layers of glue. Van Gogh is known to have often reused his canvases, working on their reverse side as well.
When he took the painting to Paris, he didn't have very much money. He was scrabbling around and decided clearly to use the back of these series of paintings that he'd brought with him from the Netherlands to Paris to explore self-portraiture for the first time.
Experts at the museum believe the materials covering the self-portrait were applied in the early 20th century before the art went on display. Art historians say when Vincent van Gogh was low on money, he took to painting on both sides of his canvases, but over the years, some of his reverse side paintings were covered up and lost. The X-ray image will feature at the Royal Scottish Academy in Edinburgh starting in July.
Children in Qatar are helping a conservation program revive the population of a critically endangered species of turtles. The children help release the baby turtles after they hatch, which usually takes place during the dark hours of the evening. The hawksbill mothers are cared for, if needed, when they arrive at the beach to lay their eggs. When the little turtles emerge, the weaker ones are taken to facilities at the foundation. There they are cared for until they are strong enough to be returned to sea. Program managers say getting children involved helps raise awareness about the endangered species and how they can help prevent some of the challenges these turtles face.
As adults, we are kind of beyond hope. Our brain is no longer plastic. We can't really learn new things. But children have the power to really internalize all these things that they're learning, that they're seeing. They make these habits part of their life. They make decisions based on, is it good for the environment, alongside with economic value for money kind of decisions. And this is what we want to cultivate.
The children also get a chance to form bonds with the hawksbill turtles. Some of them have even named the one they are going to release. That's why life experts with the conservation program say only 1% of every 1,000 hatchlings make it to adulthood. Poaching, climate change, fishing nets and marine pollution have all contributed to the dwindling numbers of the species. The program was launched roughly a decade ago and has released 30,000 hatchlings into the sea in the last 5 years. Experts are optimistic about the success of the program.
The more scientists make progress in space exploration, the more they get persuaded to delve into the mysteries of the universe. Now, the release of stunning full-color images from deep in the cosmos has put astronomers on the edge of their seats. NASA has unveiled high-resolution pictures from its James Webb telescope, which is the largest space-based observatory ever launched. The images took 2 weeks to render from raw telescope data. The $9 billion infrared James Webb was launched on Christmas in 2021. It reached its destination in solar orbit nearly 1 million miles from Earth a month later. Then the telescope underwent months-long process to unfurl all of its components. James Webb is now finely tuned and fully focused. The telescope is expected to shed light on the life cycles on planets of planets and galaxies.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. A very warm welcome to your own program, Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we try to discuss problems, questions, and issues parents have regarding the Islamic upbringing of their children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and narrations from Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him, and his purified progeny. Today in the studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Brother Sheikh Miqdad, who is a researcher in the Hawza Ilmi of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much, and salam to all the listeners and shout out there.
Okay, brother. So in our previous session, we discussed about the maturity of boys, why boys are getting mature at an early age in terms of like physical maturity. We saw that physical maturity is taking place at an early age, and intellectual and emotional maturity is not taking place at an early age. There's a delay in this maturity. We discussed the causes of early maturity of like why physical maturity is so early. We discussed so many causes in which you said that there's exposure to sexual content at early age, there's decent and proper clothing is to be taken care of by mothers and sisters or all the females living in a family, the relationship between the father and mother does affect. And you also said even the food we eat or the food boys eat, especially junk food, has effect, and also the sedentary life or lack of exercise. Well, these were the signs, these were the causes why there's physical maturity is early. Now, you also said in the previous session that intellectual and emotional maturity is at delay. Why so? Do we have some causes for that as well?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, the discussion we're having basically is to really understand that what's been happening in today's world, in boys especially, yeah, is that maturity and bulugh happens earlier than what we'd say what used to happen. And the emotional and intellectual maturity happens at a much later stage.
Yeah.
And this discrepancy, what leads to children or teenagers being baligh but not being able to cope with their responsibilities, their shari'i responsibilities.
Yeah.
And it's a big challenge that parents are facing and teenagers are facing. And so when we come to emotional and intellectual maturity, some of the causes that leads these teenagers to kind of reach that maturity at a much later stage than before. Just to give an example, I mean, back in the days, not so long ago, we're not talking about 1,000 years ago, we're talking about a century, even less than a century ago, you would find that it was very normal for 16-year-olds to be at work, right?
Okay.
Again, I'm emphasizing this point that I'm not saying whether this was a good thing or a bad thing. Yeah. I'm just saying that they were mature enough intellectually, emotionally, to be able to work at 16. Nowadays, 16-year-olds can hardly deliver newspapers, right? They're busy doing other things and don't have that kind of maturity.
Yeah.
So we need to realize what's happening and how to tackle it. So amongst the few things that we can talk about that perhaps are linked to this late maturity in terms of emotion and intellectual, one of them is exposure to this whole industry of animations and movies and the world of fantasy.
Yeah.
Right? The world of fantasy and the world of imagination, which is so grand and so kind of made a big deal out of in our lives by watching TV, 1, 2, 3 hours of TV a day.
Yeah.
It leads us to kind of be, leads us to these children be exposed to that level of
fantasy world.
Fantasy world, basically.
Okay.
And that leads them to very lack in their emotional maturity and their intellectual maturity because they're not exposed to the real world.
Real world.
They're not dealing with the real situation.
Yes.
And interestingly, you find that children from a very young age, those who get involved into real things.
Yeah.
So examples, for example, of children who get involved into real media work, like, for example, reporting, like news reporting, I mean. Yeah. Or, for example, children who get involved in charity work from the young age, you find they'll mature very much quicker.
Yeah.
Why? Because they're exposed to reality.
Yeah.
However, most children, they're just exposed to this fantasy world, right, where there's always a good guy and a bad guy, and there's always a romance story that happens in the background, and there's always like kind of fights between parents and children and between good guys and bad guys, and then the good guys always win, and there's whole this imagination world, basically.
Yeah.
And that delays their emotional and intellectual maturity.
Okay.
And this is a very, very, very concerning thing that we have to be very careful of.
Yes. Okay. We'll talk on more causes after a short break. Stay tuned to IRIV English Radio.
Hey, stop! I got a better game!
IRIV English Radio presents a priceless gift to parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. Englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIV English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the causes of delay in emotional and intellectual maturity. Yes, brother.
Another thing that we can talk about that causes this delay is our attitude with teenagers in terms of responsibilities.
Okay.
So you find that children are not given enough, I would say, even self-respect or enough responsibilities, true responsibilities, to deal with from a very young age.
Yeah.
You would say that they're kind of allowed to play on, like kind of have fun basically in their life until for a very long period of time.
Yeah.
And sadly, it's kind of the opposite at a younger age.
Okay.
So what we do is that we've kind of twist things around. Children were supposed to play till the age of 7, 8, as we mentioned many times before. And then from then on, they're supposed to kind of grow and take up responsibilities and mature. We've switched the balance. We've switched the equation the other way around. A child from a very young age is told, do this, don't do this.
Yeah.
From the age of 3, 4, they've given instructions to do this and behave in a certain way.
Yeah.
And kind of imposed instructions to them.
Yeah.
They go to school from a very young age and very quickly they're forced to take on tasks, basically, of learning, of drawing in a certain way, doing responsibility, etc. And so when they turn 9, 10, they want to play now, right? And so the whole play stage starts now, right?
Yes.
10, 11, 12. Now they just want to play. They don't want to take up responsibilities. They're too lazy to work. I'm not going to work. I'm not going to take up responsibilities. I just want to play for a bit, right?
Yes.
And so you find children at that age are now into video games, are now into kind of a fantasy world playing, basically.
Yes.
And that's our fault. We kind of switch things around. We're supposed to allow them to play enough so that when they turn 10, 11, they now should be given responsibilities.
Responsibilities.
And so you find that this is one of the reasons why we kind of have delayed this emotional and intellectual growth in children. The lack of children taking up responsibilities, taking up real work, taking up activities that see real product, real results, right? This is a very important thing. You find this coming up slowly, slowly, especially in the West, where you have organizations and afternoon kind of setups where children get active into things. As much as we can bring this to real world and being responsibilities and real effects, and this will help their emotional and intellectual growth.
Okay, so I'll be talking to you after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. We're talking about the causes of delay in emotional and intellectual maturity. Yes, brother.
Another point we want to mention over here before we move on to the practical things is that the exposure to children to religious texts, religious guidelines, as well as a goal in life is very much lacking.
Okay. Right?
You find that schools very less emphasize on
religious content.
Religious content, but not just religious content, real life content.
So
school is mainly about English, how to read and write, how to do maths, history, geography. School doesn't teach you purpose of life.
Purpose of life, yeah.
School doesn't teach you where did you come from and where you're going. School doesn't teach you morality. Nowadays, even less.
Yeah.
Morality has been completely removed, right? Except for maybe you can say, okay, they talk about tolerance and how to be a good citizen and to kind of clean up the environment.
Yeah.
But that to this extent, basically. We don't talk about what the purpose, what the reality of the human being is, what the potential of the human being is, what are we supposed to achieve in our lives. These kind of discussions don't happen at a very early age.
Yeah.
And because of this, you don't find this intellectual and emotional maturity come about, right?
Yeah.
A 16-year-old will turn 16, will turn 17, will turn 18. He still has no clue what the purpose of his life is.
Yes.
This is very sad.
Yeah.
It's a very sad situation. And then you don't expect him who's now turned 13, a child turns 13, who turns baligh at 13, to kind of be praying, be fasting, be listening to his parents. Why? Because there's no clue what my purpose of life is. No idea what God is, what role does God play in my life?
Yeah.
How to deal with my akhlaq and my morality.
Yes.
All of that is lacking. And this, added to all the fantasy world that they live in, really delays their emotional and intellectual maturity.
Yes.
And this is why you find like when children kind of hit university age, so 17, 18, and in many cases you find that this intellectual maturity kicks in, Mm-hmm. This is when they very often turn back to religion and become strong in religion.
Yeah.
Or the opposite sometimes happens. Well, they're going to other things because they're still finding the truth out.
Yeah.
But this is something that should happen much earlier in a child's life. Yeah. Right? 18 is too late. If you're going to be baligh at 13, then at least at some point during that age of 13, you should be able to have a discussion about purpose of life.
Purpose of life. Why? Where did I come from?
Exactly,
where
I come Exactly, my creator. From? The role of God in my life.
Where I have to go.
Exactly. And the exposure to text, to the Quran, to the riwayat, etc. is kind of a very important aspect in a child's emotional, intellectual maturity that hasn't been seen. And this is why this is delayed.
Yes. So these are the reasons we talked about in the two sessions. In the last session, we talked about why there is a rapid pace in the physical maturity. We talked about those causes. And in this session, we talked about delay. The causes of delay in emotional and intellectual maturity. Now, how can we deal with all that? We will talk about that in another session, inshallah, with you. Thank you so much, brother, for joining us in this session. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You are listening to the IRIB English Radio. In case you have any questions, please feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. You can also find us on social media platforms by just searching Call of Islam Radio. In case you want to listen to this program again, you can just go back to our website. That's www.parstoday.com and search us under the tab of Call of Islam. Until another session, fi amanillah and God bless you all. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
If you're interested to know about history, culture, family, politics, religion, art, etc., you wouldn't want to miss the chance to tune into the IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Migration carries a great meaning. Migration from oneself towards Allah is the greatest of migration. Whoso migrates for the cause of Allah will find much refuge and abundance in the earth, and whoso forsake this home, a fugitive unto Allah and His Messenger, and death overtakes him, his reward is then incumbent on Allah. Allah is ever forgiving, merciful. Regrettably, some deviationists, some elements who do not believe in Islam, are trying to epitomize Islam in Arabism through their claims. Those are devoid of the reality of Islam.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to the program Spring of Truth from IRB English Radio.
I'm your host, Sayyid Mohsin Naqvi, with the viewpoints of Imam Khomeini in regards to the Shi'is. In one of his speeches, he refers that during the past century, events have occurred, each of which have some effects on the current movement of our nation. The constitutional revolution, which is the Mashruta, and the tobacco movement are highly important. The establishment of the theological center in the city of Qom in the last 50 years, its influence inside and outside of Iran, the struggles of the religious intelligentsia within the university centers, and the 1963 uprising of the Iranian nation led by the ulama and the scholar of Islam, which continues to this day, are all among factors that have made the Shia Islam an issue in the global level. This is what Imam Khomeini has said, and obviously we know that because of the Islamic Revolution, because of the uprising of the ulama and the scholars, and because of the Hawza of Qom, today we see that the words of Islam, the words of Shia school of thought or Shi'it, is being spread in the whole globe. We can see how in Nigeria after the revolution, how a scholar comes to the Qom and he learns, and after that he goes back and he spreads the Shia school of thought. We see the services of Sheikh Zakzaki in the Nigeria. On the other hand, we can see like in India, Pakistan, or in the subcontinent, how the school, how the ulama, how the scholars are spread. And we have seen many of them being killed or being made imprisoned by the dictators of those countries. So we can see all these things. And this is because of the movements that we have. Why? Because when Imam Khomeini says that the Shiism is a revolutionary school, it means that it does not stop at a point. The other schools, they have stopped. We have seen many school of thoughts which have stopped and they do not have advancements in them. Whereas the Shia school of thought, which is a revolutionary school of thought, it has advances. The movements are changing. And every time when there is an oppression, every time when a dictator tries to oppress people, it is the Shia school of thought that raised its voices. It is the Shia school of thought that brings the revolution and which guides people to the right path and the path of justice.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Yourself. I'm Eric Shumanandi from India.
I was born actually in London, England.
I'm a journalist by profession.
I'm 20 years old and I'm a student of physics. My dad, who taught me the art of
writing. Listeners special.
In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this beautiful Sunday, July 24th, 2022. I'm Atef Erfani hosting this program today. Listeners Special is the Sunday program where your views are presented through emails, letters, or messages. So contact us and tell us what you think about IRIB English Radio broadcast. And if you have any message for our listeners around the world, you can record your voice, send it to us, and get your voice heard in this program. Please do remember, Listeners Special is your program. It's your views that are important. Please don't go away and keep us company until the end of the program. Welcome back. As usual, many of you have taken the trouble of sending us reception reports. These reception reports are very helpful to us, especially to our technicians and engineers, because these reception reports enable us to provide a better service to our great listeners around the world. All of you who have sent in a reception report will be receiving an eQSL card or an electronic QSL card from us. And here, I truly appreciate those of our great listeners who have kindly sent us reception reports, including Victor Varzin from Russia, Mizanur Rahman from Bangladesh, and Dilip Kumar from India. All three are old and regular listeners. And here, I do send my warm gratitude to those of our great listeners who have sent us emails from around the world, including Alexei Kolakov from Russia, Reginaldo Enunciaso from Brazil, Tomas Kotas from Poland, Rob Den Boer from the Netherlands, and Hermod Pedersen from Sweden. Stay with us until the end of the program. This is Listeners Special, and as I said, we've received so many emails from every corner of the world. And I mentioned some of the names of those of our listeners who have sent us emails from around the world, but in this program, I can just read some of them, and in later programs, in the upcoming programs, I will read more emails. But at this time, Alexei Kolakov from Russia has sent us an email. Alexei Kolakov says, "Dear IRIB English Radio, thank you for an answer to my email. Is it possible to receive an EQSL via mail? I'd love to receive one from your radio station." Salam and warm greetings to you from Tehran, Iran, and from IRIB English Radio to Alexei Kolakov from Russia. Thank you very much for sending us this email. Of course, my colleagues answer to all emails they have received, and they receive from every corner of the world, including you, Alexei Kolakov from Russia. It's our duty to do so. And of course, they will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Alexei Kolakov from Russia, why don't you tell us your views about IRIB English Radio broadcast? Yes, in your upcoming emails, tell us which program or programs you like the best. Alexei, thank you very much for sending us this email. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon. And from the Southern Hemisphere, from Brazil, we've received an email from Reginaldo Enunciaso. Reginaldo says, "Greetings from Brazil. My name is Reginaldo from the city of Barra Mansa in Brazil. I'm glad to tell you how much I like listening to your station, Radio Iran, and all segments in English language. I enjoy knowing more about news, information, and the culture of your beautiful country, traditions, and beautiful Iranian music. If possible, please, I would like to receive some QSL postcards of your station by email, such as the beautiful nature of your country, Mount Damavand, and the ski resorts of Dizin and other national monuments. Thank you very much. First of all, salam and warm greetings to you, Reginaldo Enunciaso from Brazil. We are so happy that the signals of IRIP English Radio are received in your city, Barra Mansa, in Brazil. It's great. And we are so happy to have you as a staunch follower of this radio station, IRIP English Radio. And that's good. It made my day, your comments about beautifully run and IRIP English Radio programs. As you said, you like the news, you like the information about the culture of beautifully run, the geography, the music, the tradition, so you can follow the programs. Yes, we have broadcast different programs about the culture and about the music, about the cinema, about the market, about the economy and politics of the Islamic Republic of Iran. And you can find the archive of these programs in our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And that's great that you have information about the nature of Iran, including Mount Damavand and ski resorts of Dizin and other national monuments. And that's great. For your information, at the time of pandemic, sending any material or promotional item on behalf of IRIP English Radio to other regions of the world is not possible. So please, at the time being, accept our electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card. Reginaldo Enunciaso from Brazil. It was great. We are looking forward to hearing from you very soon. So after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Please stay with us. So, from Poland, we've received an email from Tomasz Kotas. Tomasz says, "Dear friends at IRIP English Radio, my name is Tomasz Kotas, a DXer from Poland. Thank you for taking the time to read my report. I hope you found it useful. If this reception report is accurate and you have the time, please verify it with an electronic QSL card or email confirmation. Thank you." Salam and warm greetings to you, Tomasz Kotas from Poland. And please accept our appreciations to you for sending us this email. Of course, we will send you an electronic QSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon, Tomasz Kotas from Poland. And from the Netherlands, we've received an email from one of our old and regular listeners, from Rob den Boyer from the Netherlands. Let's see what Rob den Boyer says. To Radio Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran's broadcasting, it is with pleasure that I hereby confirm your broadcast in Heinrod, the Netherlands. Please listen to the audio file attached. If this report is accepted as correct, please send me your verification. Thank you so much. Salam and warm greetings to you, Rob den Boer from Netherlands, and thank you very much for sending us this email to your favorite radio, IRIP English Radio. We are so happy that the signals of our radio are received in your region, in the Netherlands. Yes, we received your audio file, and it was great. Thank you for that. My colleagues will soon send you an EQSL card as a confirmation. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. Rob den Boer from the Netherlands. Welcome back. As I said, here we have an email from Hermod Pedersen from Sweden. Hermod Pedersen from Sweden says, "Dear radio friends, having realized the vast sources of radio transmitters in Iran on medium wave, I am now studying and learning a lot more about the Islamic Republic of Iran, its geography and history, all thanks to your short and medium wave stations. I'm writing as a long-time radio listener, a DXer, hoping to receive a brief note as verification or a QSL of my reception of your radio. That would be a nice memory for me. Today, in this era of more and more streaming media, I believe that traditional radio is a